Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Welcome to JavaScript Jam. We're here with myself, Scott Steinlogi. I'm technical community manager at Edgio. And then we have
Anthony Campolo, developer advocate at Edgio.
Yes.
And we have with us Mr.
Chris
Coyier.
Hey, thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah.
Really pleasant. Yeah, good, good. This is just the coolest audio setup for those of you at home. Yeah, just
we're in person.
Yeah, in
Make
person,
sure you're,
which is
up on that mic.
Extraly, I don't know, just extra challenging, and I'm in awe. I'm in awe. It's a good job.
Well, that means a lot coming from someone who has podcasted for as long as you have.
Right, I have True. The equipment. I try to buy my way out of problems, but I don't actually know anything. You know, so I just
it's just fun, man.
Yeah, it is just fun. Anyway, yeah, yeah. Thanks for having me. We're sitting here, just super high off planet Earth.
You'd be at least 700
people would be surprised how far off the crust of the earth we are.
Okay, if we jumped out the window, we would definitely die.
Oh, yeah. Immediately. We don't even have to hit the ground.
No, we could go down 90% of the way and we would still die.
Heart attack, easily.
Yeah. 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 Die just from the amount of pee that I pee.
Yeah. Cool. So go ahead and introduce yourself. Some of our listeners will know who you are, but feel free to.
Yeah, right on. Because I wonder if Edgio is new to me, but apparently you all are just rolling in it over there. Just a, I don't know. You know, always described to me as Netlify and Cloudflare combined. Really, I don't know. It's just I'm impressed and I'm jealous of customers. Look, businesses that have a
customers.
Bunch of enterprise clients. Yeah, yeah. But like good ones, you know, like big check kind of customers.
Yeah, no, we have the customers where I can never be sure whether we're allowed to say they're a customer.
So true.
Oh, like, right.
We're not
NDAs
like,
everywhere.
We're not that kind of customer.
Right.
We just pay you. You can't tell people.
I'll just say it's Nike, Google, let's say.
He says, let's say.
Yeah.
That's good.
I have no idea. Yeah, but if you're a, you know, it's not, I'm not big in the edge world, let's say. I don't think you'd know me. And if anybody knows me, it's because I, for a long time, blogged about CSS. CSS Tricks used to be my site. It was acquired by DigitalOcean a little over a year ago. So that's not mine anymore, but it's still my legacy, you might say.
Been there several times.
Sure. And then.
And there was lots of JavaScript stuff on there, even though it was called CSS Tricks.
Truly, there was.
I wrote a whole Redwood.js tutorial once.
Right.
Very little CSS. And it's actually no CSS whatsoever was in
no,
that tutorial.
I was done. I would happily write about CSS anytime, but I wanted to write about whatever I wanted to write about and have guests like you write about anything they wanted to write about. And that's what it was. It, for the last 10 years of its life, it was just about websites. The name thus was horrible.
Yeah, and we don't have to hit on this too much, but I'd be curious now that it's been about a year since you kind of
right.
let it go. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that and seeing how it's continued on without you?
Well, it continued on without me for a while just fine. You know, my lead editor, Jeff, stayed on at DigitalOcean, who is the company who bought it, and, you know, continued publishing stuff, and it lived on just fine. Then they had a bunch of round of layoffs just recently, which Jeff was caught up in, as well as, I think, every single other person that dealt with community
so
and content.
So now it's kind of like a shell of a name then, because...
Right, but, you know, what's positive about it is that, like, anybody who ever wrote for it, the URL is live, their byline is on that post, they're getting just as much... including me.
SEO juice.
So if it's online, I'm happy. You know, of course, I'd prefer to see it like more thriving or whatever.
So
but,
are they still publishing new articles at all?
I don't know. I know that they haven't in about 6 weeks, but like that doesn't mean they're done forever. I don't know. I literally have no inside knowledge. I have no idea what
You're
they're
just
doing.
A passive observer
right.
like all of us.
But it was, you know, and that was I wouldn't call it a side project for me, but it was always like way less than half time for me because I work on CodePen as well. And that's a much bigger enterprise because it has a bunch of full-time employees, seven full-time employees. That's just larger in scope than CSS Tricks ever was. We only ever had part-time people, and it was just me and stuff. CodePen is like, it's an actual business.
and I made good use of CodePen when I was first learning to code. Mm. I've told this story a couple times where I had a developer machine that was so old and jacked up, and I'd been trying to learn to code before I actually had any business doing it, to where I had like nuked my local development environment so badly that no one could figure out how to like run an application on it at all. So I had to use these online editors like CodePen or like CodeSandbox. Interesting. Right. And I would write the applications in those, export them to a GitHub repo, and then deploy them on Netlify. Then that's how I would show my projects.
Wow. You are a total online life. You
it was
the web.
100% online. I had no local development whatsoever.
I actually love that story because it proves you know, the tenacity of somebody who needs to use certain tools.
Has to figure out how to make it work.
Code will find a way.
And then I've listened to Shop Talk. So it's like you've been someone who in my web journey has been very present and I've like learned a lot from. So it's great to have you here and like I very much appreciate all the work you've done on the
absolutely,
web.
Absolutely. Yeah, my pleasure. Just remind me how old I am.
That's my favorite thing to do as a very young person. I'm not that young. I'm in my mid-30s. I'm
like
young
a very
anymore.
Young person. Yeah, trying to make you feel older.
That's true, though. I do have a podcast with my friend Dave, and we do this same kind of
Does
thing.
Dave ever come to conferences?
Around. Oh, yeah, all the time.
And your podcast?
Yeah, we try to go to them together when we can. I think he had his eye on this one, but didn't pan out, you know.
And that podcast is Shop Talk.
There you go.
Let's That's right. Another name that I
websites.
It's fun. I mean, the logo's cool and everything, but it's one of those names where like long term you look back and I'm like, that's the term that literally every industry uses when they sit around to nurses sit around and talk shop about what you know what I mean. So the name is unremarkable for that thing. I don't know about nurses. Yeah. That was a weird example.
Yeah, that was great though. I appreciated it. It was good.
We do still occasionally get questions from Car Talk, you know, the famous NPR show that is over now. But yeah, but 3-4 over the years of somebody that had a really specific question for the Car Talk guys that came to us because they just in their mind landed on our website or whatever. We have like a question and answer form. But it was like, you know, how to change my oil in my 89 Toyota Corolla or whatever. And I was like, yes, we got another one. That's so funny. All right, so what's going on? We're live and in person.
And
what
we're
do you
here
want to talk
Render.
About?
I'd be curious. Yeah. Your talk is modern CSS in real life.
In real life.
So we got to talk about what is modern CSS and what is real life.
Well, I just thought my angle on it was that it's potentially easy to talk about technologies in isolation a little bit. Like, here's the syntax. This is how it works. And especially with some of this new CSS stuff, when you're first introduced to it, the temptation is, let's look at the syntax together and talk about what it does. That's fine. I wouldn't write a blog post like that, perhaps. But I thought, for a conference, and I was asked to keynote it too, which has a little, there's a tiny bit of like responsibility or something.
Yeah, actually to make do it, a good job.
Do a good job and make it kind of like more globally applicable. So I think there'll probably be some people in the room who maybe don't like super care about CSS because this conference is pretty broad and, you know, there's a lot of leadership stuff, for example.
Yeah.
So I thought what I would do is I won't talk about anything unless I can connect it to a real world situation, like an actual public website that we can look at, or I can paint a picture that's like, see this situation, which you can imagine.
So what are some of the websites or situations that you're going to hit on?
It actually opens up with a media website. It's an article on CNN.com about black women and non-binary surfers. It's just like a cool post.
It also fits well with the diversity theme.
Accidentally, perhaps, but I'm glad I can check it out. That it's just it's one of those like articles that, you know what I mean when I say an art directed article? It's like a fancy article.
That one where like you scroll down, a bunch of stuff just, like flies on screen obnoxiously.
Possibly, right. But it was intentionally put that way. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure
Surfboards.
Once a week.
Flying
sure. It just isn't the normal template that media outlet uses to publish an article. It's probably less covered in ads. In this particular example, the first thing you see is one giant photograph, and then that covers like the exact height of the browser window. And then the title of the article is kind of like tucked away on the bottom left of it. And it's meant to be like, look, you're entering like an art gallery. That's kind of how it's evoked. And so, and then I start looking at the CSS that they use to build it. And it's not to like poke fun, like, look, they did a bad job. Actually, I think they did kind of a good job, but I'm like, here's some new CSS stuff that we could tweak in this real world article that has some, I think, real world benefits. So we change some of the CSS on that real world website to yield some of the benefits. So that's kind of, cool. That's the point.
And then my next question would be, so when I was learning CSS, like, quote-unquote new modern CSS was like Grid. So I'm assuming we're far beyond that at this point. You're talking about other newer things.
Kind of, but Grid makes an appearance in there. Grid isn't that old, really. In fact, there's a chart that I bring up really briefly. There's a kind of a project called the Web Almanac that is published each year where they do research into actual usage.
Article.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Because although that you'd think that would be one of the harder things to measure, right? Like, how do you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know when a website's WordPress because they jack in a meta tag that's like WordPress. So it's easy to check. But yeah, Jamstack might be hard. But maybe it was more than that. I'm just rambling now. But they can measure stuff like how popular is a certain feature because they can just look at the CSS and parse it and check. And it looks like something like 12% in the last year that was measured of websites were using Grid in some way. Is that a big number? I'd say no. For such a core layout mechanism in CSS, I would think that's a pretty low number, actually, despite it being new. But then right next to it is a chart for Flexbox, which is just popping up, like 89%.
Well, this is funny, actually, because when I was in my boot camp, they wouldn't teach us Grid. They taught us Flexbox is like the newest thing, and they're like, we're not going to teach you Grid. That's too new. And at the time, it had already been around for like a couple of years. I was kind of salty about that at the time. Yeah. Like, I want to learn Grid, though.
Yeah, well, the real answer is probably like, we just haven't uploaded our curriculum.
Right, exactly. We can't do that.
Yeah, they're like, we just spent the last month getting the new React router in, so sorry.
Holy cow. Yeah. Some of that stuff blows my mind because you're like, I have a bad perspective because I think about CSS a lot and don't find it particularly challenging, I guess. But it's probably through long exposure to it. But I'm like, you can just look up the syntax real quick. And then now you know it.
Yes.
You know, or well, like go on CodePen for 1 second.
Like if you already know, like when you're starting totally from scratch, like you don't even know what code is.
I don't know. I got into CSS pretty quick and I really appreciated some of the advanced features just because I love like little things like that. For example, I created on my profile when I first created, I had like little social links on the side.
Sure. Yep.
And then each one, when you would hover over it, it would spin out at you.
Super
cool.
I'm sure. Keyframes, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, dope. Rotation. But a lot of layout, I think, in CSS isn't particularly complicated. I think a huge amount of layout is, I want to put something on the left and wait for it the right.
Yeah.
Also.
At the same time.
Yeah. No, for real. Yeah, if you're using percentages, like... Yeah. You know, I don't know.
There's a lot of ways to do that. For a long, long time, you would float one thing to the left, float one thing to the right. But then you had to think about like, oh, but what about when there's a little margin or I want the gap and to control the gap. And it was a little quirky and hacky and weird. And you had to think
so
about
many
clearing
ways
the float.
To do it.
There
sure.
was.
As you added in things like Flexbox and Grid and all.
Now
there's three ways to do everything. So that's what really tripped me up.
Sure. And I think that's fair. And then Flexbox came along and said, oh, you want to do that? You want to do the left and the right thing? You want two columns?
I guess I'm going
display
to CSS
flex,
tricks
and
flex
then the children.
Guide.
It's like perhaps, which is, I guess, a testament to Flexbox being not as good. Like the fact that guide
that
was so
of,
big for us
yeah,
means
dude,
that
seminal.
They couldn't remember. People couldn't remember it. Mm-hmm. But the way, you know, just to cover it, the way that you probably did it was on the parent, you say display flex. On the children, you say flex one on each. I mean, take up as much room as you can. Now, these days, you can say gap. For a long time, you couldn't do that in Flexbox. But if I want a little gap between the left and the right, you can just say gap one rem or something and get that gap in between it. That's pretty good. But I would argue that the syntax for grid is better. It's just display grid, grid template column. I'm going to define the columns right on the parent of how many there should be and what the gap are, and then let the elements just fall into those columns I made. I think that mental model is better. I think it's more generally useful. I think it's easier to understand. And it's to me, it's like a little sad that the usage is so low. Asterisk, though, I think when you write a program that crawls the web for a zillion websites and figures out what features they're going to use, they are skewed heavily by the way older and the way that WYSIWYGI kind of things do things.
Ah, so yeah, so not necessarily how people coded them, but because so many websites are a WordPress or a Wix or a thing where no one even 100%. Wrote the code in the first place.
I think there's a zillion Shopify, Squarespace, Wix, WordPress templates that somebody just used Flexbox on them.
Well, I think that's like
no
why
developer worked on it.
I think the majority of React sites are actually Wix sites because of that same reason.
Perhaps, yeah. And which is fine. It just means that, like, what are those charts then? If I'm like 80% of it, in a way, it just invalidates all that data. It's like not that interesting.
I'd also be more curious to know, like, what's the percentage of like the top 100 sites, 1,000 sites, 10,000, instead of like the entire sum of the internet. So, like, that's...
Well, that's what it is, I think. It is top sites. But it would almost be more interesting to, like, troll GitHub than it would be to do deployed sites. Because GitHub is, like, handcrafted code, theoretically.
Yeah. You know? Actual code that people wrote.
Right. That's a... I don't know. Just more interesting. But the reason Grid is in the talk isn't because it's new necessarily, but there's a feature of Grid called SubGrid that's it's in two browsers. Chrome is last, which is a little unusual, but...
Yeah, this is a Firefox thing, I think I remember. They had, like, some super sweet SubGrid developer
tools. They may have been first.
I remember hearing about that a while ago.
Have been first.
Yeah, mostly I hear about this stuff through, like, listening to Shop Talk. That's when I used to...
Oh, right.
The first time
I
learned about container queries, because you would talk about it all the time. Is that going to be in the talk?
It is a little bit. It's pretty brief, but I just, you know, the point is to connect it to real world websites. So I'm showing a couple websites that use Grid, and I was like, look, if SubGrid was available across browsers, I bet these websites would do it, because it's kind of nice. It's a tiny thing. It's not some groundbreaking feature, but the idea is you have an element. It's placed on an existing grid. Fine, you can do that now, and then there's no reason that element that you placed there can't also be display grid. That thing can be display
grids
grid.
All the way down.
Yeah, that could be display flux. It could be float. I mean, I don't know if it's like be that. Floated, actually. Probably not. But let's say I do want it to be a grid. Do I need to redeclare the grid lines on it? Yeah, you do. If it's display grid, you need to put some new grid lines in there for that to be relevant. And what SubGrid says is, or you can just have it inherit the ones from its parent. Just, I want all the grid lines that, you know, let's say it took three columns and four rows or something. Give me those as my grid lines. That's all it is. That's its only feature it does. It just saves you a little time and allows you to line stuff up inside that element that line up with the grid around. And I think that's tremendously useful.
If only the world worked that way.
No.
Everybody fall into place now.
Yeah. Jesus, blew my mind a little bit.
We are on the 69th floor. I mean, jeez.
Cool. That's so great. We got Grid, we got SubGrid. You said there's a little bit of container queries. What other modern CSS? And also, let's talk about the term modern CSS. This is a term that I hear most often from Stephanie Eccles. She's someone who
use the word modern.
Yeah,
a lot,
she has like a whole course based around it. I had her on my podcast a long time ago talking about this. So
tricky word, because three years it'll whatever was modern then is not modern anymore.
Right. Yeah. So what does modern mean to Chris Coyer?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I mean, certainly container queries are in that bucket. That's just such a big transformative deal for CSS. I was talking with somebody at lunch without them. It was good. She's doing the talk on the many ways of styling in React. And I found that, you know, do you all work in React? You do,
mostly,
right?
Mostly, yeah.
Okay, well, then you're probably aware of styled components. It's usually the biggest way.
I hate it.
Okay. Well, see, spicy. Good. You know, it's not the only way, right? You could use CSS modules. You could use...
Yeah.
Styled components themselves gave birth to all kinds of...
Yeah, for me, I didn't like having to bring in a whole extra dependency to do styling. Like, that seemed kind of silly to me, especially because I was at the point where it was kind of old when I was learning React, so there'd be, like, weird dependency issues, and then other, newer meta frameworks, like Next, they have, like, built, as you said, like, CSS modules, so you can use...
Right, which are kind of even older, but they were such a good idea. I'm glad they hung on. Yeah,
so I had other ways to do it to where it just felt kind of silly to have to bring in a whole dependency to do styling.
Right. The thing that, I'll say, irks me a little bit about those styles is that...
Getting hot here.
Yeah. Is that a lot of them expect you to use an object-like syntax to describe CSS. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
so instead of margin dash right, all lowercase, you'd go margin no dash, capital R, right. That's how JavaScript expects it to. And that is how it is represented in the DOM, ultimately. You know, you get computed style.
But then there's a layer in your brain. You're always be like, okay, I have to write my CSS, and I have to turn it into this other thing.
You do. And you know what? I'm not going to harm... If people like that style, I think that's okay. But here's where... This is the connection to modern CSS, I think, is like, now there's container queries, now there's style queries, now there's at layer, You've seen that one in CSS. There's all these new things. You're like, how is that map onto freaking styled components? Where do I put in the nesting of
that's
that?
That's true. As CSS continues to evolve, who knows?
You've decided to write this abstraction on how you write CSS, mm-hmm. which means that you, without knowing it, you meaning the author of these libraries, have signed up to support the syntax of CSS for the rest of your life. Now, you're not going to do that, which disappoints me.
Well, and the creator of Stock and Post doesn't even do Stock. Like, that was like Max, who now has like a GraphQL company. Like, he's not writing
Stock
components.
Is that
components.
Max Stolber or whatever? Yeah, okay. Well, cool. Max is a smart guy.
Yeah, no, he is, but he has nothing to do with Stock components anymore. So who even knows who's updating that library?
Right. Yeah, I'm like, true. If it doesn't work in Stock components, that's what modern CSS is.
that's a funny kind of bar. Once it breaks your dependency,
the problem is I think it might actually, because they had the good sense, perhaps it was Max himself, I don't know, who some of these libraries support both syntaxes. Have you seen the backtick syntax, where instead of writing it in that JavaScript object syntax, you can actually just write a chunk of actual CSS?
Right, yeah. That's how we do it in Redwood, yeah.
Is it? Okay. Mm-hmm, yeah. And what's nice about that, I guess, you know, if there's any saving grace to this horrible idea overall, is that you probably could write modern CSS in there, because it's just... theoretically, it's parsed.
Yeah,
by
see, I did like doing
that,
and that's how I do like Tailwind now. Is I'll basically like those super long, ridiculous Tailwind things you write. I'll just take that, throw it into a variable, and then throw that variable into my HTML.
You've made your own apply syntax.
Yeah, exactly.
You apply it yourself to a variable.
Well, I like that, because then your HTML is super clean that way.
Yeah, that freaking matters to me.
Absolutely,
I'll say.
I think it matters to a lot of people. That's usually the biggest complaint I hear about Tailwind.
Oh,
so
gosh.
What's your?
I haven't had a single conversation at this stupid conference that's not about Tailwind. Not that I've.
It's impossible to avoid.
And I'm like, yeah, truly, it's just unbelievable. And I won't.
What do you think?
One thing I said to somebody earlier that I think I liked my take on it was that if you have a hot button, if you're just like it's the best or it's the worst, I think you're both wrong. Then there is no hot. You can't have a hot take about Tailwind without being wrong. Mm-hmm. I think it's too nuanced for that. And I also think I'm not a yuck your yum kind of guy. Mm-hmm. So whichever one is effective for you and your employees and yourself or whatever, and you mm-hmm. like it and are productive in it, Godspeed.
Well, I've heard you make that same case for why you use React and CodePen. Like, people will be like, oh, why aren't you using Svelte or something? And you're like, well, I'm using React and it works. I'm not going to rewrite my entire application for XYZ reason.
Every 3 months. Minimum.
That just is so idiotic to me. Even though, as we're in the middle of like the world's largest rewrite anyway. So, anyway.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Oh. Well, we could a little bit. But what was I going to say about the compiling Tailwind thoughts, you know. All, you know, it kind of goes without saying that some of the modern CSS stuff you also can't do in Tailwind. You know, as it evolves, they have also signed up to support everything that CSS supports till the end of time.
But at least they have a team and a company.
Truly, very good sign that way. And that, you know, there's a lot of people that make WordPress sites, right? Lots of them. Half
CSS
the internet,
tricks
whatever.
Was WordPress, right?
God dang right it was, you know? And I think of that when you... There's just a lot of developers out there that got used to hot module reloading. I don't know who invented it, when it was invented, what it shipped with first. You know, was it part of the Webpack dev server or something? But probably. These days, you can write JSX and stuff, hit save, and your expectation in development is that I don't have to go over to the browser and hit Command-R, mm-hmm. that the development server will either refresh itself or... better, it will just somehow magically be changed in what I'm looking at. That is a DX expectation of working on the web these days.
Yeah,
if that's
people
not the case,
mad that Remix didn't do that for the longest time.
Oh, that would make it untenable for me too, honestly. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's a dive expectation for me too. I'm not saying you plebs, I can't believe you have this expectation. I'm like, yeah, that's just a better way to work. So it's the faster feedback cycle from my fingers to my brain.
It makes such a difference.
Right?
Because if you do it 100 times... in a day, like that could be like a
it's
half hour of
better.
Time that you just lost.
Honestly, I run CodePen too. We make it our business to make that fingers to brain cycle as fast as we can. Okay, but I mentioned WordPress, right? You don't build, not that nobody does, but the general happy path WordPress way is PHP templates, right? There's no PHP hot module reloading. So what is the Tailwind WordPress story? Now when I change the classes in HTML, it's just got to refresh the whole page. There's no hot module reloading there. So I think it's interesting that when people I love Tailwind, it's perfect. I think a prerequisite for liking Tailwind is that you're in a hot module reloading situation. Those have to be together. Otherwise, every time the browser's going to go blue, 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 every time you change a little class and stuff. So I don't care about how ugly the HTML is. You know, I mean, I kind of do for authoring. Like, I don't want to look at it all the time. But that is kind of a, I know most people that use Tailwind could care less. So yeah. I'm not going
to,
like,
well,
throw that
in their
face.
Well, once you get used to it, then you're used to it. And it's just what
right.
you expect.
Sure, sure. Still feels a little weird to me, but I'm sure I could get over it. JSX felt weird to me to begin
That's
with.
That's what's fun about web development, though, is that what feels normal to you is just whatever you learned at the time, because it's always been changing.
That's true.
That's true.
What's
That's
your normal?
True. Jem said today in what's a, your in a leadership talk, he did the like the Greek philosopher thing, the only constant is change, and I appreciate little nice quotes like that, because you're like, God dang right, man.
Some of the things I love about the web, though, is the constant iteration, that there's always kind of a new way to do something, and ideally a slightly better way to do something. Like, you're talking about how, you know, Grid you think is better. It's like, well, hopefully, or else they wouldn't have built a new thing if it wasn't better.
Right.
Truly. Yeah, although... I can look up some examples spicy. Where I'm like, why
modern
is this
CSS
coming?
Has gone backwards.
Well, I was talking to some people about at scope recently. That's a new one that is about to drop that I just feel like has real limited utility in CSS. I don't know if we have time to get all into the nuances of what at scope is, but it's kind of a, you know, like CSS modules in a way, obfuscated selectors so that they wouldn't, it got processed into some gibberish selector so that when I write styles over here, there's no way they conflict with something over here. I'm not saying class name dot card, because then 6 months later somebody else writes a dot card, now they're clashing, and that's a problem in CSS. That's an actual problem on teams in CSS, and that's what one of the things that CSS modules stepped in and fixed, which I really appreciate. So that's the idea of scoping. I've now scoped this chunk of CSS that styles will not bleed out from it. And you'd think that that's what at scope and CSS would do, but it totally doesn't. So it's like this weird.
So it doesn't actually weird, scope.
Yeah,
it.
not the original selector. It will scope everything under it to itself. But I'm like, that's what a class already does. Mm. Like a class is scope in CSS. So it's weird. So it has a couple of bonus things, and one of it is that you can stop how far the scope is going down. I can say style everything from this selector down to this selector, and then stop. So nothing else under that second selector is now selected in that scope. They call it donut scope.
Around
it. And I'm like, that's really neat. I'm glad that somebody thought of that really neat esoteric idea in CSS that I've never needed ever. You know? I should say ever, but I'm yucking somebody's yum.
Well, some of the CSS stuff, it like you read the specs and it's like this stuff gets really, really specific in terms like
truly.
What kind
I'm glad
of
that it does,
because
if it didn't, we would see. I don't know, we'd be in the dark ages again, and people would be talking about how quirky and horrible and inconsistent CSS is.
Yeah, people actually like CSS now.
They have that. And that's going to be in the talk, because that's changed. It went from this really quirky, inconsistent language to a very strong, useful, powerful, consistent language.
And CSS used to be a punchline.
Bruh.
So do you know Caitlin, or Catlin, I pronounced his name wrong, I know it.
Hmm.
Anyway, Sass.
Oh. Oh, yeah, like that guy.
Yeah.
From, like the Hamill guy.
The Hamill.
Yeah. Way back. Yes, I do know him. Yeah.
He's been on our... He was back when we were on
this
Clubhouse.
That's been a long
Clubhouse.
Time. He like invented it and has pieced out long ago, I think. Yeah. And now just does like, I don't know.
He's running...
charts or something. I don't know what he does.
He's the CTO over at... Yeah, that's
yeah,
right. We'll
I'm
get
sure
into it some other time. Anyway,
we should talk about CodePen with the time we got left. I'd be
sure.
curious what's going on with CodePen. You talk about the rewrite or talk about new features
or whatever's
interesting. You feel like you want our listeners to know
right.
about.
I got to be a little careful about it just because it's like I'm not announcing a thing, but we're working towards a beta of a new version of it. I think that's not terribly
so
surprising.
Is it a rewrite where we won't necessarily notice, or is it rewriting so you can enable new functionality? Like
that is the ultimate question, isn't it?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
He tried.
It would be my goal to not disrupt the Apple cart. You know, like that would be.
You don't want to lose features, obviously.
Well, we definitely won't lose features. Yeah, there's no real chance of that. Although I say that, and I think there might be actually a couple of really esoteric languages that by the data we don't need. Yeah, that might that we might nuke just because we know, like, so nobody will care. But don't worry about that. Like, if you use it,
I'll be curious. Just as we're
sunset,
we're nerds here. Like, what was the impetus to want to rewrite? Like, what kind of issues were you hitting? Like, what was the friction that made you say, like,
it's
all right,
not,
we gotta rewrite this?
It's not a problem. It's a limitation. I guess that's a problem. Yeah, now they mention it, but it's more just like when I see new technology, you know, only constant is change, right? If I see some new tech, like I joked, somebody's gonna drop a new piece of code processing technology at this conference. It's guaranteed. There's a, you know, like days since new JavaScript framework zero. Like, there will be something. And
I feel injured.
Yeah. But, like, a lot of times those are not, it used to be, you know, in the days of SaaS, it used to be very clear input, output. The API was send us some code, it will be processed, and I will give you the primitive code out of it. Like, mm-hmm. CSS, like CoffeeScript was like that, and HAML was like that. And there's so many processes, and CodePen was like born in the era of that being true. These days, it's much less true. These days, code processing is done at the file system level. It's, you know, it's like a CLI. It's like, run this processor against this whole stack of files.
And
also
just turned
file.
Into stuff that's unreadable, which is not always super nice.
Sometimes, yeah. And so we just, that's the thing, is like, I want to support anything. Ideally, it would be good if absolutely any front end, anyway, technology you were able to play with on CodePen. And right now, I think people think of the limit. I don't know if they do. I don't have good evidence for it. But I think of it. I think of the limitations of what you can do on CodePen a lot. And I
so
wish there was.
So does this involve having your own custom, like, ASTs and compilers? Or, like, how do you even enable that to allow any transformation of anything?
Boy, I'd love to tell you about all of our AST journeys, but that feels a little too deep into
it. We don't need to go that deep then.
But yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, making a play on how code is processed, you have some work ahead of you, and that's what we're in the middle of now. Because I do want a version of CodePen that matches front-end developer expectations and is ready for the future, is ready for things that we don't even know will be invented yet. So there are a couple things that you can count on, like the fact that developers work on file systems. There is a group of files that turn into websites. Dude, that's hasn't gone anywhere since long before I started programming, and doesn't look to be going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, as long as we're still on computers.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Then so they get stored
that's
in our
it. Yeah, we're very happy. I mean, CodePen is a happily functional existing product that you can use today, and many people do, and go pro, and it has features that people like and stuff. So yeah, I'm not going to disrupt anything like that. I just want more for
it. On CodePen, it's one of the things I always thought was so
they
cool.
They do. There's dang code artists on there. People really just showing off what they can do. People get jobs that way, and you know. But probably more common is just like making, you know, prototyping.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And finding inspiration because so many other people do it. That there's enough little like internal network effects on the site that makes. Ideal place to go to look around for people that, you know, that was kind of the, we were born at the same time Dribbble was, you know, that site that with the rectangular, you know, designers would share what they're working on. And so many designers did that if you're like, I need some like example footer designs, it made it a wonderful place to go look because there was high quality stuff there. That's true of CodePen too, is that you can find examples of stuff that people have worked on, interactive tabs or whatever they might be.
Yeah. Whatever you can think of.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, anything else you want to leave our listeners with before we close out here?
No, I don't think so. That was very good questions, and thanks for having me, letting me talk, you know. It's a privilege, really, to be like, I'm going to say some words.
Oh, thanks, man.
I'm going to use your audience to say them.
Yeah, we do we do weekly Twitter spaces also, if you ever want to show up and
we'd love to have you
shoot the shoot on that.
It's super, like, open mic, like, just so much fun.
Right, yeah. Right.
But you should let people know what are your, like, handles and your
websites.
Unfortunate
and unfortunate
where people should plug things into the address bar to find you.
Where can they bug you?
Yeah. Anywhere, really. I don't get enough email, really. I use my name for everything, including my email. So my website is my name, chriscoyer.net, C-O-Y-I-E-R. A little, I don't know, twist on that. But I'm pretty easy to Google. And then that links to everything else. But I'm Chris Coyer on GitHub and CodePen and Twitter and Dribbble and who knows, everything. You know? And then my email as well is just my name at gmail.com.
Don't say your email. Don't do that.
No, do it. I'm inbox
like,
zero
I
all
want
the time.
More emails.
I'm amazing at email.
I want to be able to delete more.
Yeah.
Send me emails.
I have too many emails. I got like 5 emails now. It's kind of a problem.
I'm a little. Oh yeah, that too many yeah. addresses. Yes. Yeah, I do like to same. Consolidate down.
Oh golly, yeah, same here.
I have a. This is a little known fact about me, but I'm a little obsessed with email. I have even a blog even called emailisgood.com. I really do. There's dashes in between the email. Yeah, do it. Just do it.
And then you should go to javascriptjam.com and get on our newsletter so you get an email from us.
Right. Well, yeah. I have a I'm such an email.
If you're
geek,
at if you're at inbox zero, you do not get any newsletters, I'm assuming.
No, but I like newsletters and I just have a Anthony my own little it. Exotic system okay. that we're going way over. Yeah. there's a website called Feedbin that gives you an email mm-hmm. address that you can subscribe to newsletters for, and then they come in and you just read it along with your RSS. Of course, everybody on this audience uses RSS to read all their news, right?
Good. Of course.
Well, I do, and yeah, that's where my newsletters all that go. Stuff.
This is probably why I have multiple email addresses, because I've tried to jigger my own workflows with all that kind of stuff.
MacGyver. Right. Email MacGyver. That's your next domain, bro.
Nah, not bad. Yeah. Do people even remember MacGyver? No. So now we are all old. Yeah. You've outed yourself.
All right. Well, let's call it there then. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. See you guys next time. Peace.